Kidney School, www.kidneyschool.org. Module 10, Getting Adequate Dialysis.
Hi, my name's Nancy Spaeth, and I'm a member of the Life Options Council. My kidneys failed in 1966 when I was 19 years old. Today, I'm a grandma, and I work full-time as a rehab nurse. I'm having a really good life with kidney failure, and you can too.
When Leroy, age 61, learned he needed dialysis, he was scared. But his nephrologist said he'd start feeling much better in a few weeks as extra water and waste were removed from his body. It didn't quite work that way. After a few weeks of standard in-center hemodialysis, or HD, Leroy still felt awful. He was sick to his stomach. He had a metal taste in his mouth that made food taste bad, and he itched like crazy. Leroy didn't even have the energy to help his grandson work on his basketball jump shot. He made an appointment with his nephrologist. From his doctor, Leroy learned that standard in-center HD replaces only a small fraction of the work of healthy kidneys. Healthy kidneys are on the job 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 168 hours a week. It turned out that Leroy was not yet getting the right amount of HD. He needed more treatment to get adequate HD, enough to keep him feeling good so he could keep doing the things he loves. His doctor adjusted his treatment. In a few weeks, he really was feeling better, and he started coaching basketball again. Leroy, now on dialysis for 4 years, learned something he hasn't forgotten. Dialysis is not a one-size-fits-all treatment. So how do you know you're getting enough dialysis? What happens if you don't get all you need? This module will answer these questions and more. Getting adequate dialysis helps you feel better and live longer and improves your overall health. And since it's your health, it makes sense for you to take an active role in getting the dialysis you need. Taking an active role means understanding your dialysis prescription, making sure you get all the dialysis your doctor prescribes, and knowing when you're getting adequate dialysis. By the time you finish this module, you will know how to do your part and get all the dialysis you need. So let's get started. Your dialysis prescription. Just like a drug, dialysis is given with a prescription from a doctor. The prescription is designed to make sure you get enough treatment to feel well and keep doing the things you enjoy. To decide on the right prescription for you, your doctor starts with a careful look at your weight and height, your lab test results, your medical conditions, your residual kidney function, or how much filtering your kidneys are still doing. A prescription will be custom made for you based on your unique needs. To understand your prescription, first you will need to know a little bit about how dialysis cleans the blood. Wastes in the blood are mainly removed through a natural process called diffusion. Diffusion happens when fluids are on both sides of a semipermeable membrane, like a tea bag. Semipermeable means the membrane has tiny holes that let little particles through like tea, but not larger ones like tea leaves. Blood cells and protein are too big to pass through the membrane, so these stay in your body during treatment. In dialysis, the membrane can be one of two things. In peritoneal dialysis, PD, the membrane is the peritoneum, which lines your abdominal cavity. A dialyzer for HD is a collection of thousands of hollow plastic fibers, each thinner than a hair. The fibers are gathered into a clear plastic cylinder. At each end of the tube, the fibers are held in place by a clay-like potting material. Blood enters the dialyzer through the red port at one end, passes through the inside of the hollow fibers, and leaves through the blue port on the other end. Dialysate enters through the blue port on the side of the dialyzer, flows around the outside of the hollow fibers, and leaves through the red port on the side. Wastes from the blood are carried away in the used dialysate. On one side of the membrane is your blood. On the other side of the membrane is a fluid called dialysate, or bath. Wastes from your blood diffuse through the membrane and into the bath. Once used, the bath is thrown away. How does dialysate remove only the waste? The secret is in the bath. In nature, diffusion goes on until fluids on both sides of a membrane have the same concentration.
For example, until your tea is as strong as it can get. This takes time. The process can be sped up by creating a gradient, making the fluid on one side of the membrane stronger or more concentrated than the other side. Your blood has high levels of wastes. Your doctor will prescribe a bath with no wastes. This gradient forces wastes from your blood to move across the membrane and into the bath, where they can be thrown away. Now we know that wastes are removed mostly by diffusion.
But how does dialysis remove extra water?
Water removal in dialysis is called ultrafiltration. In PD, ultrafiltration is done with a gradient. Sugar or glucose in the dialysate pulls water out of the blood. A stronger glucose solution removes more water. A weaker glucose solution removes less water. In HD, ultrafiltration is done with pumps. The blood pump is a horseshoe-shaped loop of blood tubing with a wheel in the center. The wheel squeezes blood through the tubing, squeezing out some of the water at the same time. Another pump is applied to the dialysate to create a vacuum. The vacuum pulls water out of the blood. This pulling is called negative pressure. Reading the blood pump. Just above the blood pump on some HD machines is a number for the blood pump speed. Dialysis centers often aim for a blood pump speed of between 3 and 400 for a standard HD treatment. Slower speeds make it hard to get adequate dialysis during a 3 or 4 hour treatment. Slower speeds, which are gentler and easier on the heart, are used for nocturnal HD, which is done for 8 hours at a time during sleep. Faster speeds may damage a vascular access by forcing blood through with too much pressure. Your doctor will decide what speed is right for you. When your kidneys fail, water can build up all over your body. Most people don't know that there are three places or compartments in the body where water can go. One, it can go inside the cells or intracellular compartment. Two, in between the cells or interstitial compartment. Three, in your blood, vascular compartment. Dialysis can only remove the water that is in your blood. Only about 15% of the water in your body is in your blood. Water moves from one compartment to another by diffusion, which takes time. This means if you gain a lot of water weight, dialysis may not be able to remove it all. The extra water can build up in your body and damage your heart. Water can also build up in your lungs and affect your breathing. How well you feel after a dialysis treatment depends on how much and how quickly water is removed. One study found that it may take as long as 6 hours or more to feel normal again after standard in-center HD treatment. The less water weight you gain, the less you will need to take off. And if water can be taken off slowly, it is easier on your heart. Now that you know more about how dialysis works, we can talk about your prescription. We'll talk about the HD prescription here and the PD prescription next. Hemodialysis prescription. If you use hemodialysis or HD, your prescription has three parts. One, clearance of wastes removed by the dialyzer. Two, time for each dialysis treatment. And three, volume of the water in your body. First, we'll talk about clearance. Dialyzers are not all the same. Some have more surface area than others, so they remove more waste during a treatment. Larger dialyzers have greater clearance. Larger people may need larger dialyzers. Conventional dialyzers remove small solutes or dissolved wastes from the blood. High-efficiency dialyzers remove slightly larger solutes. High-flux dialyzers remove more small and middle-weight solutes, including beta-2 microglobulin, which can build up and cause a problem called amyloidosis. What is amyloidosis? Amyloidosis is a buildup of waxy protein called amyloid. It can occur anywhere in the body, but often affects joints. Amyloidosis can cause pain and limited mobility. There is no treatment, but longer, slower dialysis, such as nocturnal HD and use of high-flux dialyzers, remove more of the protein. High-flux and high-efficiency dialyzers are costly. For this reason, they are often reused, cleaned, sterilized, and returned to you for your next treatment. With each treatment, the dialyzer can lose a little bit of clearance. The reuse process tests the dialyzer. When the clearance drops below 10%,
the dialyzer should be thrown out and you should get a new one. How can you protect your own safety? When you get a new dialyzer, make sure it is rinsed well with saline or a salt solution to remove chemicals from manufacturing. Always read your dialyzer label to be sure you get your own dialyzer back. Pay attention to how you feel when you get your new dialyzer and how you feel with each reuse. If your dialyzer isn't helping you feel better, you may want to ask your doctor about fewer reuses. Look at the test strip that measures chemical residues to be sure your dialyzer is residue-free. Reusing a dialyzer can help you if you are very sensitive to the chemical used to sterilize new dialyzers, or ethylene oxide. Reusing dialyzers is also a way to reduce the high cost of HD. When your dialyzer is reused, this is what happens to it. 1. Your dialyzer is rinsed with pure water and a cleaning solution to remove blood cells and help kill bacteria. This cleaning solution may be bleach, hydrogen peroxide, or Renalin. 2. The cleaning solution is rinsed out. 3. Testing is done to be sure the dialyzer does not leak and to check the amount of fluid the hollow fibers can hold. 4. The dialyzer is filled up with a germ-killing solution and stored. Solutions used include formaldehyde, glutaraldehyde, and Renalin. 5. Before the dialyzer is used again, a test is done to be sure that germ-killing solution is present. 6. The dialyzer is looked at to be sure it is clean and not leaking. If it looks okay, the germ-killing solution is rinsed out. 7. Tests are done to be sure the germ-killing solution is gone. 8. The dialyzer label is checked to be sure it is the right one for you. To make sure this routine is followed each time, your dialysis team must record all of the steps taken for your dialyzer. If all of the steps are correctly followed, a reused dialyzer is safe. If the steps are not followed, this is what can happen. Bacteria can grow in the dialyzer, causing fever or other illness. Germ-killing solution left in the dialyzer can cause burning, sudden loss of vision or hearing, or other problems, including death. Problems caused by reuse errors often happen within the first few minutes of dialysis. To ensure your own safety, know your body. Learn how you usually feel on dialysis. If something feels wrong or very different, such as a sudden problem with hearing or seeing, tell the staff right away. Another possible risk of reuse is getting the wrong dialyzer. If this happens, you could be exposed to blood-borne diseases. To avoid this, two people must check the first and last names on the dialyzer label. If possible, you should be one of those two people. Taking part in checking your dialyzer can help give you peace of mind and will help your care team. They want to give you the proper treatment. Your concern shows them that you want to be involved. Now that you've learned a little more about dialyzer reuse, we'll talk about adequacy. The next part of your HD prescription is time. Time for each dialysis treatment. Time is the part of HD that you have the most control over. Your doctor will prescribe a treatment time, and you can make sure that you get every minute of treatment that is coming to you. Why does every minute count? Because there are 168 hours in a week, and you may only have about 12 hours of dialysis, about 7% as much as healthy kidneys. If you miss just 2 minutes of each treatment, it adds up to more than 5 hours of dialysis missed per year. How can you be sure you'll get all of your HD time? Here are some ways. 1. Be on time for my treatments. 2. Avoid large water gains that can lead to painful cramping that makes me stop a treatment early. 3. Stay until the end of every treatment. 4. Ask for help if I get restless toward the end of a treatment. 5. Be sure I get to make up minutes lost to machine alarms, broken machines, or bathroom trips. 6. Ask for longer treatments so my water removal can be more gentle and more waste will be removed. 7. Change to daily or nocturnal home HD to get much more dialysis. See this in our next section. 8. Don't let my time be cut short if my treatment starts late, the staff wants to leave, or it's a holiday. More time with home hemodialysis. More dialysis time is one of the biggest pluses of home HD. Because you can schedule treatments at your own convenience, you can run longer if you need to. Daily home HD and nocturnal home HD also offer many more hours of treatment in a week. Slower forms of dialysis like nocturnal home HD allow more time for waste and water to move into the blood where they can be removed. Nocturnal home HD is done for 8 hours at a time, 3 to 6 nights per week. This means getting 24 to 48 hours of dialysis instead of just 12, without taking time out of your day. Patients who use these treatments say they feel much better than they did on standard in-center HD. One patient said, "I am on dialysis 6 nights a week at home. I have learned to put myself on and have a catheter. I dialyze every night except Saturday, date night, I guess. The sessions are 8 hours long. I used to be on for 4.5 hours, 3 days a week. I used to dialyze at a blood flow rate of 400. Now I dialyze at 250 to 270. My meds have been cut down considerably. I used to use 12 phosphate binders, such as Foslo or Renagel, after every meal, and my phosphorus was always high. My phosphorus is now 3.5 to 4, with no binders. I am even on a medication to raise my blood pressure." The advantage over in-center treatment is, in short, getting your life back. Not really any disadvantages. You feel in control of your treatment and yourself. Another said, "I'm tickled pink with daily home HD. My son, 50 years old, took the training with me. He learned how to put in my needles, and we are working on me forming buttonholes so I can cannulate myself. Set up and running the machine is a snap. All supplies are delivered to the house, so no traveling to the center. Our time is our own, so we can dialyze first thing in the morning, and the rest of the day is ours. I have to say right here and now that I feel better now than I have since going on dialysis." Volume of water in your body. How much water is in your body anyway? There really is no easy way for your doctor to tell how much of your weight gain is water and how much is fat or muscle. In fact, this is one of the biggest reasons that dialysis adequacy is part science and part art. But you can watch your body for signs of excess water called edema. Extra water may make your face, hands, or feet puffy. If extra water is in your lungs, it can make breathing harder. Always having extra water in your body can make your blood pressure impossible to control, even with many pills. High blood pressure is the main risk factor for heart damage called left ventricular hypertrophy, LVH, which is one of the leading causes of death for people on dialysis. If you can't limit your fluids enough to do standard in-center HD without high blood pressure, changing to a longer and or more frequent type of home HD may help protect your heart. Your goal weight without excess water is called dry weight. One way to find dry weight is to take off so much water that you get low blood pressure and cramps and then back off from there. This is not recommended, but there is no practical clinical way to assess dry weight. It is always trial and error. As someone with kidney failure, it's up to you to tell your care team if you believe you have gained fat or muscle, so your dry weight can be adjusted. Lynette said, "My blood pressure tends to run high, so I want to get as dry as possible." You, on the other hand, might feel better going back to your old way of calculating your goal and leaving a little fluid on. My dry weight is different every treatment. I feel my way dry. I say to the nurse, "I feel like I need to take off XX kilos today, please." If I hit dry before my time is up, I have them back my goal down a little. If I feel a little over when I leave, I will add more to my goal next time or try to add it on when I still have a half an hour left. It's a fine line, and everyone needs to figure out for themselves what weight is most comfortable. It's also up to you to learn the signs of getting too dry at dialysis. There is no such thing as overdialysis, but it is possible to remove too much water at a treatment. When too much water is removed, your blood gets thicker and harder to pump. To make it easier on your heart, your blood pressure will drop. How can my low pressure be helped fast? If you have lost too much water during dialysis, giving you back a little bit of fluid can help. Depending on how you feel, you may get some saline in your dialysis lines or be able to drink some broth or other liquid. It also helps to recline the chair so your head is lower than your feet.
If you learn what it feels like to get too dry, you can alert the staff at the first moment you feel the symptom and feel better faster. Here are some of the signs of getting too dry: dizzy, faint, lightheaded, ringing in my ears, racing pulse, feeling warm and sweaty, nausea, vomiting, yawning, itching, or severe muscle cramps anywhere on my body. At each in-center HD treatment, you weigh in and your water removal goal is calculated. To know the most about your treatment, it's best to learn to figure your water removal goal yourself. Ask your nurse, technician, or an expert patient how they do it. They can help you learn. The amount of water to be removed at each treatment includes water weight you gained between treatments, saline used to rinse your dialyzer, the prime, saline used at the end of the treatment to rinse blood out of the dialyzer, the rinse back, anything that you drink on dialysis, although since the water will not yet be in your blood, it won't all be removed during the treatment. Here's how two expert dialysis patients put it. The first said, "Do people not on dialysis weigh the exact amount every day at 1 p.m.? No, and neither do we. You should figure your own weight depending on how well you have eaten, how much you have exercised, and bowel regularity. Set your own weight up or down each treatment if needed, depending on these factors. Always use the previous treatment and weight as a starting point to calculate current treatment and weight. Then tell them what you want your weight to be and what your goal is. If you feel like you have come off a little heavy, lower your weight 0.2 or 0.3 at the next treatment." The other patient said, "The dry weight is a balancing act. I always wear a, quote, uniform to dialysis, so I'll weigh the same and never have fluid overload. I learned to calculate my goal myself and watch it go on the machine. I had to look at my symptoms. Had I gained or lost a little weight, my weight usually doesn't fluctuate much. Were my bowels regular? Were my blood pressures running low or high? How was my breathing? Did I feel stuffy, ears popping, yawning, cramping hands or feet, soreness in legs, achy joints? I learned that all these symptoms meant something, and I learned the best thing I could do was to keep a comfortable amount of cushion above my dry weight or these symptoms would kick in. I managed to guesstimate the proper target to shoot for at each treatment most of the time." How well HD is working is measured by the amounts of waste and water removed. One common waste is urea, which results from the breakdown of protein you eat. Urea is used as a marker for other wastes in the blood that are harder or more costly to measure. Once a month, your care team will draw blood before and after your treatment to measure the amount of urea in your blood. The staff must draw these blood tests correctly for them to be useful. These levels can be used in one of two ways to measure your dose of dialysis. These are urea reduction ratio, or URR, or kinetic modeling, called KT over V. The URR measures the level of urea in your blood before and after treatment. The difference between the two levels is shown as a percent. Your KT over V is figured by multiplying the amount of waste removed by your treatment time. The result is divided by the estimated volume of water in your body. K stands for clearance and means the amount of waste removed. T stands for time, the length of time dialysis lasts. And V stands for volume, the volume of water in your body. Of the two methods, KT over V is harder to figure, but it gives a better estimate of urea removed than URR because it tries to account for body weight. How do you know if you're getting enough dialysis? The National Kidney Foundation developed clinical practice guidelines called the Kidney Disease Outcomes Quality Initiative, or KDOQI, and they set minimum standards for HD. URR must be at least 65%, and KT over V at least 1.2. These levels are a minimum. More dialysis is more like healthy kidneys. KT over V measures a minimum amount of urea, but urea is just one waste and not the most important one that dialysis removes. If your KT over V is under 1.2, you are not getting adequate dialysis. But a KT over V higher than 1.2 does not mean your dialysis is optimal. Sometimes patients are told your numbers are good and you can cut back on your dialysis time. Do not believe this. Removing enough phosphorus and B2M, the protein that causes amyloidosis, takes time, so you need every minute of dialysis you can get. You can feel when you have too much or too little water removed, but it can take years to feel the ill effects of not having enough waste removed. If you fall below these levels, your doctor can make some changes. He or she might increase the amount of time, or T, you are on HD, or have you use a bigger dialyzer with more clearance, the K. You can help yourself by watching for the signs of uremia, a buildup of waste in the blood that might show you're not getting enough treatment. Check off any of these symptoms you have. Weakness and fatigue, weight loss from muscle loss, poor appetite, yellow skin, disturbed sleep, nausea or vomiting, a bad taste in the mouth, itching, infections, prolonged bleeding, or maybe you have another symptom. If you do have symptoms, talk with your doctor right away to see if you are getting the dialysis you need. Take this list along to your next clinic appointment. Before your next doctor visit, think through what you want to ask and be honest about your treatments. Your doctor and care team need to know exactly what you're doing and not doing so they can help make your treatments work best for you. Another way to help yourself is to follow your fluid limits between treatments. Most people on HD make little or no urine, so fluid that is not used up by the body adds up as extra weight that needs to be taken off at dialysis. Do you know your fluid limits for each day? Talk with your dietitian about how much fluid you can have in a day. Once you know how much fluid you can safely take in, HD will be a lot more comfortable for you. Avoiding salt can make it much easier to follow your fluid limits. Fluid limits are one of the biggest challenges for many people on HD. If you need help with your fluids, listen to Module 13, Heart Health and Blood Pressure. As you can see, getting the dialysis you need is a team effort. Everyone needs to do their job, most of all, you. No one on your healthcare team can do your job for you. If you can work with them as an active partner in your care, you have much to look forward to. Peritoneal dialysis prescription. If you use PD, your prescription has four parts. 1. Number of exchanges per day. 2. Amount of fluid in each bag. 3. Concentration of dialysate. And 4. Dwell time. What's an exchange? In PD, an exchange is the process of draining used dialysate through a catheter placed in the abdomen and then putting in fresh dialysate. Exchanges can be done by hand or by a machine called a cycler. By hand, usually 4 to 5 exchanges are done each day. With a cycler, many exchanges are done at night while you sleep. Sometimes an exchange is also needed during the day. Number of exchanges. One of the best things about PD is that it's completely under your control. You decide where and when to do your exchanges. You can be a little flexible to fit in an errand or a special event. Doing all of your exchanges. It can be tempting to skip an exchange if you're tired or busy, but if you do, you risk your long-term health. To feel your best, do every exchange. As Anna said, my PD nurse agreed that my missed exchanges were probably causing my fatigue. I just started back on PD, and while I know it is no excuse, I am getting used to fitting it in again and misjudged how long I'd be away from home. Last time I dialyzed, I was not in school or working, and now I'm doing both full-time. Anyway, I'm very aware of what happens now and am bringing extra bags with me. I also left a box of low and medium strength solution at my boyfriend's parents' house and will probably leave a supply at my mom and dad's. So if I go there and get stuck, I'll be okay. In other places, I should be able to get to a dialysis center and borrow a bag if absolutely necessary. What if I have to miss an exchange? Sometimes missing an exchange just can't be avoided. Maybe you're on a long flight, or an appointment runs longer than you thought and you don't have a bag with you. You should always carry a bag. However, if you absolutely can't avoid missing an exchange, what should you do? If you let the dialysate dwell or stay in the abdomen for too long, your body can reabsorb the waste and water in it. So if you know you'll have to miss an exchange, drain out the used dialysate and stay dry until you can fill up again. Amount of fluid in each bag. Your doctor will prescribe a fill volume or amount of fluid in each bag. The volume is chosen to give you the best chance of getting adequate dialysis. More dialysate per exchange means more waste and water can be removed. Usually, dialysate bags hold 1.5, 2, or 2.5 liters. Concentration of dialysate. Concentration of dialysate refers to the strength of the solution. There are three strengths of glucose-based dialysate for PD in the U.S. 1.5% glucose, 2.5% glucose, and 4.25% glucose. Most of the time, 1.5% solution is used. If you are retaining fluid, for example, if your hands and feet are swelling, you may use 2.5% solution. If a lot of water must be removed, your nurse or doctor may recommend a 4.25% bag. The 4.25% solution is hardest on the peritoneal membrane. It is best to avoid this solution, if possible, by sticking to your fluid limits. Your PD nurse and doctor will help you learn when to use which solution. Bob, who started PD in 1999, says, "I had to do some experimenting for the first month on PD, but I found a mixture of solution strengths that works for me. Then I had to convince the clinic that this not-by-the-book approach was best for me. Fortunately, I kept good records so they could see the effects, and they okayed it. The doctors and nurses have guidelines and models that they use initially for everybody. When I demonstrated that I could understand and follow these guidelines, I was allowed some latitude based on my knowledge of my own body." Dwell time. During each exchange, dialysate dwells or stays in the abdomen. The dwell time allows water and waste to move into the dialysate so they can be discarded. Some people are faster transporters, mover of water and waste, than others. Your doctor will prescribe a dwell time for you based on how well your peritoneum works. PD adequacy. How well PD is working is measured by the amounts of waste and water removed in a week. One common waste is urea, which results from the breakdown of protein you eat. Urea is used as a marker for other wastes in the blood that are harder or more costly to measure. To measure urea removal, you may be asked to come into the clinic to do a supervised exchange. If so, plan to be there for a few hours until all the tests are done. Your doctor looks at the results and your notes about your exchanges to see if you are getting adequate PD. The two most important lab tests to measure this are kinetic modeling, the KT over V, or creatinine clearance. We'll talk about KT over V first. Your KT over V is figured by multiplying the amount of waste removed by your PD time. The result is divided by the estimated volume of water in your body. Creatinine comes from normal breakdown of muscle during activity. The creatinine clearance test measures how well PD is removing creatinine from your body. To do the test, the amount of creatinine in your urine, if you still make urine, is compared to the amount of creatinine in your blood. Your doctor may test your urine using a sample you give at a clinic visit or may ask to collect your urine for 24 hours in a special container. If you don't make any urine, the test will be done using blood only. The target levels for PD adequacy are a little different if you do exchanges by hand, continuous ambulatory peritoneal dialysis or CAPD, than if you use a cycler, automated peritoneal dialysis or APD. Your lab report will tell you whether you are getting enough dialysis to remove enough waste and water from your blood. The target levels for someone on CAPD are KT over V of at least 2.0 per week, creatinine clearance of 60. The target levels for someone on APD are KT over V of at least 2.1 per week, creatinine clearance of 63. During the first 6 months of PD, you should have two or three blood tests to measure your KT over V. After your dialysis is stable, you should have your KT over V checked about once every 4 months. If your KT over V value or creatinine clearance is below the target level, your prescription may need to change. Your doctor may ask you to try using bigger bags, adding an exchange, or using a different dialysate. There are two other factors that play a big part in how well PD will work for you. One is how much kidney function you have left, called residual kidney function. The other is how well your peritoneal membrane works. Studies show that PD helps you keep your residual kidney function longer than standard in-center HD. And if you still make urine, you can drink more fluid because your kidneys are doing part of the work, so you don't need as much PD. But over time, your function may drop. It's important to measure your residual kidney function at least 2 or 3 times during your first 6 month of PD. If your function drops, you may need more PD to stay healthy and active. Your peritoneum limits how much waste can be cleared from your blood and how quickly. The peritoneal equilibrium test, or PET, is used to see how well your membrane is working. You should have a PET in the first month of PD and every few months after that. To do a PET, you'll be asked to come into the clinic for about 4 hours. You'll drain out last night's fluid, fill with 2 liters of 2.5% dextrose fluid, and turn from side to side. You'll let the fluid dwell for 2 hours and drain. Then your blood will be drawn. The PET will show how quickly your peritoneum can transport waste. High transporters can use shorter dwell times, making cycler use possible. Low transporters need longer dwell times and may be better suited for CAPD, or may need to add a daytime exchange. You can help yourself by watching for signs of uremia, a buildup of waste in the blood that may show you're not getting enough PD. Check off any of these symptoms you have: weakness and fatigue, weight loss from muscle loss, poor appetite, yellow skin color, disturbed sleep, nausea or vomiting, a bad taste in the mouth, itching, infections, prolonged bleeding time, or other symptoms you may feel. This is the conclusion of Module 10 of Kidney School. We hope you enjoyed it and found it helpful, and will listen to other modules.